Hey, what's up? It's your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 6, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wild world of wrestling and witchcraft on Wednesdays. Guys, I am really excited about today's episode. I'm not going to dance around it. You've asked, I'm going to tell. What happened to the coven? All of a sudden, we showed up at Impact Wrestling, and poof, the coven were Impact Wrestling Knockouts Tag Team Champions. I don't care if that's totally right. I was champ. I can say what I want. And then just as fast, poof, the coven was over. Did we burn at the stake? Did we choose to walk away? Did we part ways with the company? We are going to get straight into it today on Wild On. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, my sister witch, TNA Knockout, Miss Kylan King. Okay, girlfriend. Well, hi!
Hello.
Thank you for doing my podcast, part two.
Yes. Yes, I'm very excited to be back. The last time I was on here, we were not acquainted that much, and now we have so much history together, so it's kind of cool.
It's true, and we were, like, in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
I think, you know, for the sake of the internet and people who have, like, you know, that 5 to 10 second, like, I pay attention now and then just flip the video, we should just get right into it. Let's talk about the coven.
Let's talk about the coven.
Okay.
Do it.
I guess we should start with the fact that it was just like kaboom overnight. It was just like I was doing this witchcraft thing, which I had been cultivating and was like my dream character. Yeah. And then we got put together and it was literal magic, but it was like sink or swim immediately.
I remember when I got the email about creative and all that stuff and how this was going to come about. I messaged Tommy and I was like, hey, is this right? Because like, and then I remember you texting me and you were like, hey, congrats, champ. And I was like, wait, what? This is my first weekend of work and this is happening? Okay, cool. But thankfully, like, I think it worked out perfect because the way my personal life was going, I needed to kind of dive into like a dark femme era. And what you had to offer me and what we kind of found together was perfect for that. So it was all meant to be, you know what I'm saying? So
very synergistic. And then as quickly as we went, poof, the coven is here. We went, poof, see you later. Never mind. We have really just had the chance to talk about, you know, we were both going through some shit in our personal lives. I had a neurological emergency in August, and it was enough that I was terrified to continue with wrestling. And if anyone's ever had any neurological issues, the one thing that they come out of the other side of it with is like, it's really practicing medicine. Unless there is like concrete evidence in your brain, they have no idea what's happened to you, why it happened to you. And then you're left to your own devices to really, really play Russian roulette. Impact has now become TNA and they've gone through this like huge growth, which is amazing. But I didn't want the coven to be over. And I don't think you did either.
No, I remember, what city? We're in Toronto.
We're in Toronto.
Was that a Toronto taping? I remember when I showed up and they told me that they were breaking us up. I was like, wait, why? We literally just started. Like, there's so much for, like, because I know you and I had talked about, like, oh, eventually years from now, like, one of us will turn and it'll be fantastic. But nothing had really happened to warrant that yet. So we were just kind of like, or I was kind of like, what? Because I didn't know what was going on at the time.
I know.
It was heartbreaking, but everything happens for a reason. So my hope is that one day the coven will come back to fruition and we'll be able to finish the story, as they say
these
days.
That's it. I think that's, you know, the one thing that I wanted us to be able to say to the fans is we were not done. We were literally just getting the engines started. It wasn't us, and it wasn't that the company was not allowing us to grow and continue what we started. My life imploded and that directly affected you. And although I had tons of ideas. I thought there was a million different ways we could have kept the coven going. That didn't jive with where Impact was going into TNA. And like you said, everything happens for a reason. And who knows? You never know.
And quite frankly, with what's going on with me right now.
You had your own personal struggles in your personal life. It's made you, I think, stronger, more resilient. You've grown up. You've turned that pain into power.
Yeah.
And then you've had a physical kind of roadblock. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So December 17th, I was in a wrestling match and I was coming off the second rope and my knee just went glug, and essentially it temporarily dislocated and I had to go to the ER like right away. Cause you know how us as wrestlers are, like when we get little aches and bruises in matches or things happen, we just go tough through it. Like we just keep going. And I've always had that mentality in matches. And that was the first time in a match where I went, oh no, I have
to. Did you stop?
Yeah, I went. I stood there, or I laid there for like a good 30 seconds, felt like eternity, but I laid there and I just held my knee and I went, that was really scary. What just happened? I slowly pulled myself up in a corner to try and see what standing felt like. And I could immediately feel like my whole leg was weak. It was so I just crumbled back down. I said, we're going home. I grabbed him, I pinned him, and then it was done. I've done a lot of stupid stuff in that ring, but that was the scariest thing I've ever experienced. And I went to the ER. They said nothing looked damaged, but I was yeah, it was not a great experience. But I kind of just sat there and went, no, they're wrong. I was I was verbally out loud to people. I was like, oh, it's just a sprain. It's fine.
Right.
But in my head, I knew. I was like, I've never experienced a sensation like that in my knee. About a week or so later, I finally came back to Ohio to stay with my family for a little bit. And then in the process, thank God, my sister-in-law is a nurse. So she kind of hey, this is what you do. This is where you go. Because I had never had a major injury before. So to me, I was like,
help.
Where do I start? Where do I go? I didn't know how anything worked. So she helped me tremendously. And then I finally was able to get an MRI and see an ortho. And essentially, I sprained my LCL. My meniscus is a little tweaked, but nothing crazy bad. But the major thing was I tore my ACL. But thankfully, I just had a doctor's appointment yesterday. And he thinks I can be back within 9 to 10 months. So we have surgery scheduled on the 5th of February.
That happened fast. Congratulations.
Yes. Well, I joked yesterday. I said, well, last year during February, I was in the middle of going through a breakup. This year in February, I get to have surgery. What a life.
Oh, my God. So unbelievable.
The last month, because it's almost exactly a month now. The last month has been the most emotional process for me because I mean, you and I have had conversations about this before. Since the moment I got into, even before wrestling, I was always go. I played sports and then I got into martial arts and then I got into wrestling. And I've just always been go. And wrestling has been a very heavy part of my life for the last 7 years. So I went from constantly traveling and constantly sweating, moving, doing all these things to still.
Stop. And welcome to my world.
And my brain and my body just got so overwhelmed. And the last 4 weeks have been very, very emotional. But thankfully, I have an incredible support system in my family. And of course, all of our fellow TNA Knockouts have been reaching out and keeping my spirits high. And even some of the boys, too. So it's been hard. But thankfully, like I said, I'm not completely alone during this because people have been keeping in touch with me. But for me now, it's just about healing, maybe more physically and spiritually too, because there's a lot of stuff that I just went, okay, well, that's what it is. And I just kept moving. So I'm trying to look at it as maybe this is time to do some spiritual growth as well. So we're figuring it out.
Good for you. I'm so proud of you. Truly. You're handling this amazing. I know you're just at the beginning of your journey, but one, I'm so happy to hear you're with your family.
Yeah.
I know that's going to be positive and negative at times, but
I hesitated at first because people always ask me why don't you come back to Ohio now that you're established as a wrestler? And I said, because I was a very lazy person when I lived in Ohio. Because for me, when I'm around family, I feel comfort and I feel at ease. So I don't necessarily get that I need to work vibe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, if things go awry, my family will be there. And I don't like having that comfort. I like constantly being in that state of, well, if I don't get work done and I don't make things happen, I'm not going to survive in this world. Like, I've always kind of thrived off of that environment. Which, now that I say that out loud, maybe that isn't the healthiest thing, but...
I mean, this is why we do this. This is why we have those conversations. When you're producing, you don't have to feel feelings. Yeah. And like you, when I had my injury, it stopped me from everything because I couldn't work anymore. I couldn't travel anymore. Everything was on hold, and I went through exactly what you went through. I think I spent the first 2 months just crying. Ugh. And I haven't cried enough for what I've endured, or just in being a functioning person.
Yeah.
And I think especially as wrestlers, you know, we're told to, and as women, suck it up, push it down, keep moving forward. Like, this is not for the faint of heart. And it's really powerful and really strong to be vulnerable and have emotions and have tears. And so, like, hearing you say that, it's been a really emotional month. It, to me, it means you're moving through it.
Yeah.
Your problems wait for you at the end. That's what I learned.
Well, it's so funny because, like, I think after 2.5 weeks, or maybe 3 weeks, I can't remember, I went, okay, I want to start going to the gym. And everybody looked at me and they were like, no. And I said, yes. And they were like, you need to just stay on the couch. I'm like, no. I said, I need to move. I said, I'm not going to use my leg, obviously. I was like, but I said, I can't. I said, I can sit here in my little pity party, which I'm going to have here and there, because that's just how emotions work. Like, they're never, you can never just turn them off. Like, you can sit there and be like, oh, I think I'm fine. And then an hour later, you're like, the world is ending. Like, that's just how it works. But I said, I need to feel like I have a game plan. I need to feel useful. I said, so even if it's, I go work upper body every single day for the next however many months, I said, if that's something that I can do to have a form of release and a sense of purpose, like, that's what I need to do, because literally my job is to be in shape and look great. I said, and right now I'm just sitting on my butt watching TV all day. I said, this is not a lifestyle I can let myself get used to. I said, if I sit here every single day and just keep doing this and keep creating this pattern, I said, I'm going to become a very depressed human being. And then that drive that I've spent the last decade forming for myself is going to disappear. And I'm just going to be a pity party every day. And that's not what I want to be. I said, by the time that this surgery happens and I start rehab and I start to get to the point where I can come back, I want to be better than I was before. I want to walk out there and people will be like, I didn't know she could get more jacked. That's the goal.
You know, you can't stop.
No.
As soon as you stop, that's when all that shit creeps in. And I don't mean like not dealing with it, like just the physical aspect. So what? You're going to work your upper body for 10 months straight? Well, that just gives you more motive to work your lower body out when you can for the next 10 months afterwards to catch up.
Yep. And like, too, like, I just remember the night of the Hard to Kill. I had it prepped and ready to go. I wanted to watch and support my sisters. And I sat there and I just started crying. And my brother was like, what's wrong? I thought you wanted to watch the pay-per-view. And I was like, I do want to watch the pay-per-view. I want to support them. And I know they're going to kill it. I said, it's just now that because I was moving, because I knew it was the day of the pay-per-view. So I was moving, keeping my brain busy. And then when I finally sat down to go watch it, I was like, I should be there right now. I was supposed to be there. And that is the most crushing feeling, because like, you know that wrestling will be there, but there's always this sense of, these were the moments I was supposed to be a part of. And you have to figure out how to let that go, because otherwise that's going to torment you. And that's the part I'm still trying to get used to, especially since they just started getting back on the road after the little break. It's like, wait, no, it's okay. Everybody says my spot is still there when I get back. Like, that's not how this works. It's just a matter of the rebirth of TNA and knowing that I was supposed to be there and just having to get used to the fact that my moment is going to have to wait a little bit longer.
If I can tell you anything, I went away for 10 years and I came back. It was still okay. They remember. It's fine. Don't worry. 10 months, you're fine.
Yes.
I promise you. But I know how that feels. I know how that feels. And it's a lot, and people don't understand it unless you've gone through it, because you're like, they don't realize how much it takes to get to that point sometimes.
And I think too, and again, this goes back to maybe having to use this time to spiritually heal as well, because like, when I was going through that breakup, wrestling was the thing that I was holding on to so much. I was like, okay, well, this sucks. I lost this, but wrestling, I love it. And I've got it and it's here and I'm doing great at it. And let's just keep going. This is my new love, or it already was my love, but this is like the thing I'll put all my focus on now.
Yeah.
And then now that's gone. And so I think in my head, I'm like, because, you know, once all the trauma part starts to fade away a little bit, you start to overanalyze, but like just look at the whole big picture and be like, okay, why is this happening kind of thing? Because obviously this is happening for a reason. Yeah. And I think that may be part of it, because when I started wrestling, I like never came home. I was on the road all the time. I think maybe in the last 7 years, I've come home 2, maybe 3 times. I've missed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've missed weddings. I've missed deaths, birthdays. Like, I've missed a lot of stuff. And actually, in just a few days, my youngest niece is going to turn 1 and I get to be here for that. So I'm like, okay, so maybe, maybe that's part of it. Maybe there's some stuff that's going to be going on with my family that's really important for me to be here right now. And then to like I said, like there's a lot of things that I've just kind of been like, okay, that happened, and didn't actually like process it. So I think there's a lot of reasons. I'm just slowly starting to understand it one by one and just let it be.
It's the balance. And like you said, you had this relationship and it was good for when it was good. Then that went away. Wrestling filled that void, which is exactly what happened with very similar work. Let's just say work helps you fill that void. It doesn't have to be wrestling. And then you're just left with you. Mm. And then it's like, fuck. But all I
do
hear
I even
is
like
that
me?
You're
what?
Well, this is it. Who am I?
Yeah.
You know who Kylan King is, and you know who you are as a woman who has been in this relationship, healed from a relationship. Because I'm just giving like a snapshot of like the last year, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've built yourself up through wrestling, but who are you? What do you like? And my whole life, I've just tried to work away what should have been self-love. I'm like, well, if I just produce, if I just work, then I'm accomplished. I'm doing things that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever know what made me tick. What do I love? What are my emotions? What are my boundaries? You know, like, what is that counterbalance? Because I think a lot of us just give.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to be just happy independently. Just us. No work.
Yeah.
No distraction. No relationships. And you're on a journey, girl. I'm really excited for you, though. This is like a good thing.
I'm glad one of us is excited, because I'm terrified.
But I am here. I am here. And you have so much support and love. But let's talk about spirituality a little bit, if you don't mind, because you're a spiritual person, but you also grew up really quite religious.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people know that side of you. How has religion and being a wrestler, like how have those two worlds affected each other, or they haven't? They've just been two separate entities.
So like, I remember growing up, like my mom was so against me wrestling because all she knew was Attitude Era. That's the only taste of wrestling she ever got. So in her head, women's wrestling was wet t-shirt contests and the panty matches and stuff like that.
Fair.
So for the longest time, I had like this huge, I always felt like I had to hide my body. I always felt like I had to be super conservative in certain ways. Verbally.
In life or wrestling or both?
Both. So
okay.
In Ohio, like when I lived in Ohio and I was getting into weightlifting, like hardcore, there was a couple guys that I would weightlift with, and I would never dress like super fitted around them. I would always be like long leggings, covered hoodie. Like I always wore clothes that didn't show my body in any kind of way. Even sometimes when I went out with friends, like I would wear like clothes that kind of, I mean, mind you, it's cold in Ohio, but still, like I would wear clothes that weren't really like going out clothes. And then when I got into wrestling too, it was the same way. When I would train, I really wouldn't dress a certain way. When I would wrestle, it would be more like, as opposed to like letting that feminine side out a little bit. And even when I talked verbally, like it would be very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like generic and to the point. Like I wouldn't try to get all sassy like I would see people do on TV. And then I think the longer I was away from home, the more I started to realize that things aren't necessarily so black and white, that there's a way that you can respect your roots and you can respect the roots of what you've learned and what you hold on to and what you kind of let go of, if that makes any kind of sense. Totally. And I had to find my own balance of how I felt the right way to present myself while respecting my background, but also embracing the future version of me. So, and I think that's kind of what you've seen of me in the last 2-3 years is like, you notice I get a little bit more like with the camera and stuff like that, but I still am very about the fight and the aggression and all that stuff. It's just, cause I always want to pay, show respect to my parents and my family and let them know like, hey, I'm not completely just blowing you off. I appreciate what you believe in and what you brought me up to believe in, but also like, there's a little leeway in my mind. There's a little bit more color in my world.
Yep.
And I try to find that balance because I'm the mother effing king, and you know, you can't have a moniker like that and not be a little colorful.
You gotta be a little sass, a little sassy. Sass. You gotta be a little sassy.
Which surprisingly, I started that moniker on the indies, didn't tell my family about it. And when I came home, my dad brought it up and I was waiting. I was like, oh, he's gonna ream me. He's gonna be so upset that I am implying a swear word in this. And then he was just like, I think it's great. And I was like, okay. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, I think a lot of that restriction was in my head growing up because like the when parents are raising you, they always want to put the fear of God in you because they want you to be good in society. They don't want you to turn out to be a bad human being. And I think sometimes you take that and you put it into your own head and you put even more restrictions on it because you think all these things are bad in their eyes. And then you get a little older, you get closer to understanding their struggles that they've gone through. And then you kind of come back together and you have a little bit more of an ease and chill with each other because like, hey, we're all surviving adults now. And like, I'm glad that you listened to me and the stuff that I tried to raise you on, but also like you have your own life now. So that's great. Like, and I appreciate that. So I think that's what I've been learning over the last, actually probably the last year, because I, like I said, I didn't really come home that much, but it's kind of cool to like see, like, I remember when I was younger, I told my mom I didn't want to have kids and she was kind of upset about that. And just the last time, not this time, but the last time before this, when I came home, she went, you know, I don't have any expectations about that anymore. She's like, I want you to be happy. And I was just like, I didn't know this was a conversation I would ever have with you. This is kind of cool. Like, yeah, because in my head, I was like, oh, my mom doesn't like the way I live because she expected me to become a teacher or get married and have a bunch of babies like she did and all that stuff. And now it's kind of like, I think she just wanted me to have a plan and a way of life that made me happy and made me thrive. And she thought that that was it. But then when she realized that I did have something in mind for myself, she was like, oh, okay. She figured it out. She's her own human being. Cool. So I love that. It's kind of cool to have that full circle moment and come back and realize that it wasn't as serious as I thought it was in my head. And that they really were just trying to make sure that I went out into the world prepared, I guess is the best way to put it. But It plays a little bit of mind games with your head because you just put all these restrictions on yourself because you think that's the way it's supposed to be. So,
and I think people think like wrestlers, we haven't really molded to society. We're kind of like these rebellious rock star types. We're on the road full time, that they don't understand that a lot of us grew up with either religion or strict parents. And that can play mind games us. And, how we show up in the wrestling world, and it's a hard balance.
Like part of the reason I wear pants is because, well, A, because I got thick thighs and I just don't want them to rub together when I'm in the room going. But I think initially the main reason why I did it was because I didn't want to be too sexual with my gear. Like I wanted to look strong and I wanted to look good, but I didn't want my butt hanging out or you know, something slipping up because I do have a lot of curves, so it would tend to do that. And I always worried about stuff like that happening. Now I don't know, maybe we'll see. I mean, I got 10 months to ponder things over, so maybe we'll have a little bit of a something when I come back. We'll see.
I was gonna say, how would you feel about that now? I think you know, the new era of Kylan King.
I think the next however many months this injury takes to come back from, I think I'm going to be learning a lot about myself. So there might be a very different Kyle and King when the end of the year rolls around. We'll see. But
so exciting. Yeah. Now, I just thought of it like while we were chatting about religion, because for me, witchcraft, spirituality, there's nothing evil. It is more a set of beliefs. Did you ever have worry that maybe that would be something that your parents would not approve of? Or did you have any like strains in your own mind about playing a witch or anything like that?
So my dad is actually like a huge theater nerd. So, and I did theater growing up. I mean, when I was in high school, so the first musical I ever did was Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, of course.
Love it. Obviously.
But then the next year, our high school director picked out Man of La Mancha. I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but essentially it's this dude who is crazy. He can't differentiate the real world between the world that is imagined in his mind. And there's this woman that he's obsessed with who, in reality, in the real world, she's a in his mind, she's this beautiful princess, goddess, whatever. And I had to play this girl in the show who was I just remember I was like reading a script and I was coming to terms with what the story was about. And I was like, we're in high school. My parents are coming to see this and I'm going to be singing about this. Like what? And I was just like,
oh no.
Okay. So my mom's familiar with the whole acting and having to put on a, yeah. So I don't think they were any kind of way about the witchcraft thingy.
Cool.
I think they thought it was just cool to see me do something different. You know what I mean? Like they were just happy to see me. Cause I think, once I joined the coven and once I started learning about that world a little bit more with you, I feel like a different side of me came out. Again, the dark femme. Like I think because I've always had I've always been strong verbally, but I've never had like a little bit of a to it. You know what I mean? Like I can't really use a word, but I'll show you with my movements and my actions and stuff. And I feel like, especially with the backstage promos that we did, we explored that a little bit and like, you know, we set a scene and we had dialogue with them. We would work with it, how it worked between for you and how it worked for me and then how it worked for both of us. And like, I remember we would sit in that glass room and we would have our little rehearsal and try to figure out this is the dynamic we're looking for, but how does it work for both of us and how do we bring it to life? So it's natural and it's not forced. And I think we were starting to find our stride. And I think my parents just loved the theatrics of it. They were like, we like seeing this different side of you. Cool. It's really cool
and you know what, as long as I had been in it previous to us doing our thing, even my family, and my mom's like, she much prefers like the promos and the theatrical side versus getting slammed into the mat. And both my parents were like, you know, it looks like you guys have really hit your stride, like you guys are having fun. This is the most like in tuned, aligned. And I think that's other people, which I would like other people to know, is this was very much our baby. Yeah. Like we were given little kind of hints and ideas that, you know, Jimmy or Robert wanted us to put out there in the world. But really, you and I were hammering out dialogue and, you know, we really, it was really our baby. Yes.
And I have so many clothing and like accessories that I bought right before we broke up that I had set for like that 90s punk witch vibe, and I never got to wear them and I'm very, very sad. So I think that we need to I'm going to save them. And eventually when the forces that be bring it to fruition, we need to have a little reunion.
I wonder, it's just like one of those things. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'll keep my my phone lines and my good relationships up, and we'll see. We'll see. Let's get you healed and then let's see. Yes. You never know, right?
Cuz even if you can't wrestle, we always need a good manager.
Girl, and you know what? I'm getting older, not younger, and I'm down with that.
Will you be my Paul Heyman?
Oh, I would love to be your Paul. I thought you would never ask. You heard it here, people.
Yeah.
So are you going to stay in Ohio then while you're rehabbing and healing?
I think for now, yeah. I think once I get to the point where I don't have to do PT anymore, I might find my way back to Georgia because I technically still live in Georgia. My belongings are still there. Oh. Yes, I'm very much living out of a suitcase right now. It's wonderful.
Oh, dear.
Timeline-wise, I don't know. I'm trying not to think too far ahead because I find that when I do that, I start to get a lot of anxiety. So right now I'm just thinking about the next 2 weeks of PT into surgery. And then once surgery happens, we're going to see what the timeline for that looks like. So, because I know they said that as soon as surgery happens, you can start PT like the next day. So, so my goal is just to see how quickly I bounce back from the surgery and then what they think I should do. Because I don't want to go from starting physical therapy with one place and then going to another place and having to wait because I have to set up a new system or whatever. Like, you know how the waiting times of all that stuff can be. So, So I think right now I'm probably just going to stay in Ohio. And I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Cause I feel like my, I feel like my family are keep expecting me to be like, all right, I'm leaving now. And so when they say here that I'm going to be here for another week, I'm like, oh, they really want me to stay.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. And like when in your career, because there's never any off season, are you really going to have this time again?
Yeah, I think Bubba said it to me best because he checked in on me one day and he was like, he's like, let's say you come back from your injury and then you're so in demand that you can't come home for the next 10 years. What is going to be the biggest thing you take away from this downtime? And I went, having the time to spend with my family. And he's like, exactly. So so he really put that into perspective for me because I was just sitting here going like, I shouldn't be here. I should be on the road. I was even texting Gail and all of them. I was like, I can do promos. I can be backstage in a wheelchair. I'll be a menace to people. Be like on my throne. Like, hey, you need to do this. You don't like, you're not in charge. Why are you telling me to do this? Because I'm the mother effing king. So do what I say. Like, I had all these ideas.
I get it.
And they were like,
I get it.
They were like, chill. They were like, get your surgery. And I was like, okay. All right.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, as fast as wrestling moves, you don't even know what you'll be coming back into.
Yeah.
Like it will be more perfect and more your time in 10, 11 months from now, I think, because you would just be in the mix of all these things that are changing with TNA. And I'm not saying you would get lost in the mix, but like things will have settled down by then and it will be more about you, in my opinion. That's what I think.
I'm coming to terms with that. I'm figuring it out. I think it was just the, cause I like to work. I like to work. I like to be busy. And I think it was just having to accept that that's not what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Because I think there's a part of my brain that associates stillness with laziness. And like, I never want to be lazy. I never want to be the person who just settles for sitting around all day. Because I've met plenty of people like that where they just get by off luck and there's no real work to it. And I think that was like a nervous tick that was in my brain. I was like, I can't let myself fall into that. But I wasn't stopping to like fully realize like, hey, you have no control right now. You just have to. Yeah.
You just made me think of something. So are we going to be on the dating apps in Ohio? Are we going to find ourselves a nice Ohio boy? Let's hear it.
So my sister-in-law was like, what if this injury happened because you're supposed to meet a really hot doctor and you're going to get married? I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, I need to heal right now. I said, I cannot worry about dating right now. I said, if something comes along, that's great. I said, but I'm not looking for it. I said, all right, now I need to do a lot of healing. And if I am like, don't get me wrong. I still text a couple boys. Like it's happening, but
balance.
I'm not forcing anything right now. Whatever is meant to be, whatever's going to happen will happen. And can you believe I'm saying that? Because the way I was talking about that was very different a year ago. Very different.
Yep. Like, very much so.
I need a partner. I can't let this go. Like,
you are really embracing, whether you like it or not, that this is your time to look after you right now. Physically, mentally, spiritually. And I think like when you do that, that's generally when, I hate to say it because it's, you know, it's very cliche, but that's when the one comes around because that's the energy you're putting into the world. You're like, I'm doing this. Like, I am happy. Like I'm good. I'm, you know, you find your own groove just doing you. And then someone comes along and is like, hello, I love you. Well, let me make your life better.
I will say my family would be very happy if I found an Ohio boy, because the, my sister-in-law was like, you can't go away. And I went, what? And she was like, we're, because I got to meet her a couple of times, but I wasn't really around when they got married. So I didn't really get to know her. And now that I'm living here and getting to know her a lot more, and because she's the nurse in the family, like, she's going to be helping me a lot post-surgery and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
good.
She's just like, whenever we have a girls' night, we're just drinking wine together. She's like, I love you. When you heal up, you can't move away. And I, she's like, you need to move back to Ohio. And I was like, I don't know if I want to move back to Ohio. And she was like, no, you have to move back to Ohio. And I was like, well, we'll talk about it when the time comes. So I said, we'll see. So if I met an Ohio boy, she would be thrilled, because that would mean a lot of change.
Lock you in. Does it feel different being home? Like, do you feel disconnected from Ohio? Like, do you feel like a little bit of an alien coming back to this place that you just grew up in, or do you feel connected to your home?
I think alien is probably the right word. Not necessarily because I didn't like Ohio. It's just been so long. And I spent the last 7 years in Florida, and I feel like I think sometimes the first place that you ever live by yourself sort of kind of becomes your home in your head, because it's like, this is the place where I learned how to be by myself. So this is where I'm growing. And so I think a little part of my heart is like, Florida is my home. But at the same time, like, I've just spent the last couple months living in Georgia. And I like it there too. It's just, I think it's weird being back around people that I grew up around, because I've spent the last 7-8 years creating new family, new friends, new circles of companions and stuff like that. So coming back to all the old things, I shouldn't say old. I feel like that'll offend people, but the childhood things, it's like, these people have grown, and the children that I used to babysit are old and married now. That's the other weird thing, is a lot of people that I was a teenager when they were birds are now old and married and have a child, and I'm like, nope, that's not right. Why did that happen?
You're 14. How are you having children?
Like, that's right. I'm in my 30s. I'm old now. So,
no, it's a different strokes.
So, but it is kind of cool whenever I drive through my hometown area, because I get to see like all the old mom and pop shops that are still somehow open and thriving, and I'm like, gosh, I used to go there. There was a donut shop like less than a mile from my house, and on my cheat days I would walk down to that mom and pop shop at like 6 a.m. It was called TNT Bakery. I would walk down there at like 6 a.m, get a huge box of donuts, which I had to learn the hard way. Donuts outside of Ohio are not cheap. Because in Florida, if I wanted to get like half a dozen donuts, it was like $20-some, right? In Ohio, if I want to get a big box of donuts, like a couple dozen, like less than $20. Yeah. Like not even. Like I brought a buddy home and I took him there, and we got like at least a dozen, if not more, donuts. And he was like, chill. He's like, we don't need to spend that much money on donuts. People probably won't even eat all of them. And I was like, watch this. Yep. And I went to go pay for them, and it was like $13. He was like, what? I was like, yeah. I was like, we're in Ohio. We're not in Florida.
That's crazy. And I think of Florida, a place that isn't necessarily on the higher end of price point. Like, I think like your New York and your LA, but still that's is that bakery still around then? This is in amazing.
I remember all the girls, girls that also when I worked there used to bring these donuts in all the time, and that's how I found out about it. And I was like, and then ironically I found out that it was like right down the street from my house. I was like, how have I not known about this bakery? And so like my early 20s, I went there like all the time on my cheat days.
I love it. So you have that little outlet if you need it. Not too much, just a little bit of a perk. Maybe
that's the other scary part, is like my family likes to eat. And I've been getting my own food and meal prepping, but every once in a while they're like, no, you're going to eat with us. And I'm like, I messaged Moose the other day and I was like, hey, do you know any meal prep places in Ohio? Because I need to like have no excuses. I was like, my family's trying to fat me up. And he's like, I bet they are. I got you. He's like, I'll ask. I was like, thank God.
So food is love in your family then. You eat together, yes. You do these big meals. I love that.
Yeah, my Nana is like a good old country woman. She's from the West Virginia area.
Oh, no so way.
They migrate, well, not them, but like their past generations migrated from Ireland.
Okay.
And then they kind of, some of us are in West Virginia, some of us are in Tennessee, and then the rest of it's in Ohio. So it's all very like Southern based culture in my family. So like there's a lot of butter and cheese and potatoes and oh, all the good stuff. So I'm just like, whew, all right, I'm gonna go bye.
The food that gets you all sexy and fat and sassy.
Well, my Nana and Buff both make the best potatoes. Yeah. They both have their own like little recipe. Like I think my Buff is he makes like the soft mashed potatoes, and then my Nana makes like the round ones with like the bacon and
stuff. Wait, so what do you call what do you call your grandfather? Buff?
Buff. Oh, we used to call him Puff because he smoked a lot. And then when I got older, he quit. And so we were like, well, we can't call you Puff anymore because you don't smoke. That's so funny. We switched it to Buff.
I love that. That's adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good old man.
Oh, I feel like there's so much joy with like you being around your family. So there's definitely some positives. Hello, Carlos. Is this Carlos part two?
He said family?
Yeah. I like, are you talking about potatoes and bacon?
Oh, that's what got him. He heard the bacon.
Back here. Oh, and King with a boot to the face of Jessica. Night on Access TV. Tonight we're guaranteed to have a new Knockouts World Champion.
I really think like you are the one to watch. You've been the one to watch, but I really think you've had enough trials and tribulations. This is your time.
That's the other thing too. I was even going to make, because I've kind of been silent about my injury since it happened, because I wanted more answers before I announced anything.
Sure.
Because for a while I was just kind of sitting in the dark. I knew I was injured, I knew I was going to be out, but I was like, I just want more of a timeline and more information to give before I say anything to people.
Yep.
Ironically, I found out that I won that award about a week or two before the injury, and then the night of the injury it was when I filmed the promo for the award.
Oh, good goodness.
So you know, when Gail called me to encourage me and check in on me, she was like, remember, you're the one to watch. And I just started laughing. I was like, yep. Yep.
Watch.
Like, I was like, watch me. I was like, I'm going to let everybody join me on this comeback story. And no matter what happens, I'm always going to be the one to watch. And that's how I'm trying to look at it right now.
You should vlog or you should, I don't know. Do you think about documenting it? I know that's not your usual vibe and it's a lot of work.
I do think I'm going to be filming everything because for me, I've always been kind of an open book on social media about my journey and what I'm going through and stuff like that. So I think the best outlet for me right now, because I already like to create content all the time. So I think the best outlet for me right now is I'm going to start filming stuff, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever.
Good.
And just kind of letting people know what's going on with me so that, and then, just keeping them apprised so that way they feel a part of it, I guess. I don't know. Like, I just want...
We love a comeback. It's the best thing for you. And it's healing. It's like doing a journal. It will suck. You will hate doing it. And I'm really bad at it. So do as I say and not as I do.
Yeah.
But like, I want to see your story. Like, I want to see you come through this because you are going to... You have a huge cheerleading squad and you've got this. We know you've got this.
Yeah. And I've always loved posting on a daily basis. Like I just like staying connected with the people who give a crap about my career. Mm. So I think that'll be the way to do it for them. Cause I didn't even remember when they announced the Ultimate X match, a bunch of people tagged me on Twitter. They're like, wait, why isn't Kylan in this? And I was like, I want to tell you, I'm so sorry. Like, so yeah, like it sounds dumb to say, but I don't want to be forgotten. I think that's the biggest fear right now going in my head, is because I've been working so hard to like, okay, I matter. Like I have something to contribute. Yes. Yeah. So I think there was this big fear that like right when I was about to do all this cool stuff, this happens. And I'm like, okay, how story wise and marketing wise, like how do I make the most out of this really cruddy situation?
Yeah.
everybody likes a good comeback story. So
everyone loves a comeback.
Yeah. So I think that's the best thing. I think too, having video of it and watching it myself will mm-hmm. also kind of encourage me, because I always like to look back at old clips and just see where I was and where I'm at now. Like, I remember when I went back and watched my first match compared to my most current recent favorite match, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? I'd be like, who was I then? And look at me now. And I think people like seeing that stuff. So
it's something to literally give you purpose in addition to your training and, you know, just being around your family. It's like a reason to put some makeup on. It's a reason to do your hair. And you're going to do it through gritted teeth, because I do it through gritted teeth every time I put my damn makeup on. I hate it.
I hate it.
I'm
but so glad I'm not the only one.
No, and it's getting worse as I get older. It's I cannot stand it. And as soon as we are done here, I'm going to go wash my face. I don't go through life looking like this. And I don't even have that much makeup on. I just hate it. I want to touch my face. It's not functional. I want to go to the gym. I feel less beautiful, arguably, with makeup on. Is that weird?
No, because I think we want to be able to walk in a room with our natural look and it be a normal thing.
Yeah.
Like for me, like if I meet an Ohio boy, I want to meet him like this, not because I don't want there to be any expectation of this is what I'm going to look like all the time.
Yeah.
For TV, yes, because we got all the lights and we got the theatrics and we have a character we're representing, so we need to look a certain way. But on a day, like that's why you see a lot of the time when I post selfies on social media, I have no makeup on.
Yep.
Not because I'm trying to make a statement. It's because I want you to know what my face looks like. That way, when you see me in person, you're just not like, wow.
I know.
You're a lot prettier on camera than you are in person. Like, no, this is my face.
This is my face. This is what I have to work with.
Don't look at it. Don't look at it.
Yeah, I think that needs to be normalized way more. And there's nothing wrong with loving putting on makeup. Like, I support that. But I also support the girls that like going through life just with skincare.
I used to be a huge makeup girl. I was the girl who would... My parents would give me the $20 for lunch during the school week, and I would purposefully forego lunch a couple of days of the week so I could have a few extra bucks, go down to the market or to the CVS and buy like a new mascara or whatever and watch tutorials and learn how to do things. I loved it. And then at one point I got to the mindset where I was like, if I'm not wearing makeup, people always tell me I look tired, or people always tell me this or that. And it's like, it's just my face, guys. You're so used to seeing my face with color on and certain things on that when you don't see it, suddenly I look sick or I look tired. And in reality, I'm fine. Like, I'm good. So I think I just wanted to get rid of that stigma and get rid of that perception of this isn't normal looking for her and just let people see who I am. So that way, when they do see me with makeup, they're like, dang. But then when they see me without it, they're like, oh, hey. You know what I mean? Like, you just want that normalcy to it.
Yeah. For me, I think because of wrestling, that's where I grew up. It's about being a character. Mm-hmm. So when I'm literally washing that character off. It's like a literal cleansing. And then I'm just, there's Chantel and then there's Taylor Wilde. And it's two different entities to me.
Yeah. With this hair, though, I can't really hide that.
That's true. So.
I made that choice though.
But it looks good on you. This is the thing. It looks good. Like makeup, no makeup. So it's okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's do my top 10 tailor-made questions to turn this around. It's a little bit of a speed round, but don't feel rushed in your answers. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. What's a skincare product you cannot live without?
Face wash, because your girl likes to sweat.
We sweaty bitches up in here, and that's okay.
Yeah. Face wash and moisturizer. Yes. Yeah.
Ride or dies.
Ride or dies.
Love it. What's your least favorite wrestling move to take?
I call it the you slam. You know what I'm talking about? I don't remember the real name for it. I took it from Max the Impaler, and I had taken it once before from Sawyer Wreck, and it wasn't crazy bad, but it's one of those bumps where if you just have to snap it.
Yeah.
And so you can't really control like how hard, like you just have to make it look good and go poof. And I took it from Maxine Taylor, and bless Max, threw me, like threw me. And it's so funny. This was at NWA 74.
Okay.
I believe it was 74. And then it was in that, the Royale thing that we did and she threw me down. And there's actually, if you go on YouTube, there's a fan footage clip of me taking it. And you just see me going, so like towards a rope. And somebody came up to me after the match and was like, that was a really great sell after Max's move. And I said, yeah, that was selling. Sure.
Those make for the best. What's your least favorite exercise?
Lunges. Because I hate them.
They do the damn thing, though. They're good for you.
They're so good for you, but I hate, because I'm great at squatting. I'm decent at deadlifting, but lunges, I always feel like a clumsy fool. And I have to slow myself down so much. I just hate them.
Fair. That's fair. What's your favorite body part to train then, in contrast?
Legs.
Legs. Okay, just the lunges.
Let me not do that to depress myself, because I can't train legs right now. Back. I love training back.
And it shows. You got to go back, girl.
Shut up, girl.
What is a movie that's changed your life?
A League of Their Own.
Oh, that's a great one.
I love that. That was like one of the first movies where I got to, I'm trying to remember how old I was when I watched it, but that was the first movie I ever got to taste the struggle of women in sports, or women just like in a man's world, essentially. And and that was like one of the first moments I got my eyes opened up to that, because I lived in a house full of boys. So that was the only environment I knew. I didn't really spend a lot of time with girls at the time.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I ever got a taste of female struggles in a man's world. Mm. So
what's your favorite store to shop at?
Amazon.
Preach.
I don't know if that's a store. Yeah. Which is terrible, because now that I have all this downtime, I'm constantly sitting there on my phone going,
yeah,
through Amazon. And one of my buddies was like, oh, that's so dangerous, get off that. And I was like, I've already ordered like 10 things, so I need you to get away from me. Like,
It's okay. You get it's a little dopamine hits. Just don't go crazy on your bank account.
Oh my gosh. I have a really bad hoodie obsession.
Oh.
I love hoodies. Can't shake it. Don't know why. I have way too many.
I love a hoodie.
And when I travel, I can never decide which hoodie I need to take. I always have to have a zip up hoodie, a pullover hoodie, and then like a hoodie. I don't care if it gets dirty. Like, it's bad. Like,
it's okay.
I have a hoodie obsession, and I'm starting to slowly get a sneaker obsession. I was never the sneaker girl.
Oh,
but now that I have this injury, I'm like, I don't know how many high heels I want to be wearing anymore, or like combat boots that have like the uneven platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just ordered my first pair of J's, and I kind of want to order a few more. It's really
okay. That's exciting, though.
But J's and hoodies are a great combination. So maybe I'll just start my own fashion line. I don't know. We'll see.
Ooh, I like where we're going with this.
How to dress a hoodie properly.
Yeah. What is your favorite podcast, if you are a podcast person?
I'm not really a podcast person, but I do listen to Busted Open a lot.
Oh, support the cause.
Yes. Yeah. But I have been getting into like female comedians podcasts, because sometimes I love listening to Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Honestly, anything like female comedians, or just like anything with two females that are just like shooting the shit and just like keeping it real. Like, I love stuff like that, because I like to sit there and be like, I thought I was the only one who had that thought. I'm so glad somebody else said it out loud. Like, it's so great.
Brittany Schmidt, who I had on the show, and we ended up being girlfriends. She had a Netflix special. She's a comedian.
Yes.
And Brittany, I'm probably going to butcher her last name. I think it's Furlow, the one married to Tommy Lee. They just started a podcast, and I think it's called It's Not That Bad, but just Google it. You'll love it.
It's not that
because
bad.
It's
okay.
Just that. It's literally people writing in about these awful things that have happened to them, funny, traumatic, whatever. And then they match that. And these girls have been through it. Like,
oh my God.
Drugs, sex issues, like messy, messy girls. Like, they're on the other end of it now. You would love that. And I could Google the name of it, and I'll put it in the credits once we run this show.
Oh yeah.
You would love that.
Okay. I'm gonna find it.
Especially with everything you're going through right now.
Give me that empowerment. Okay.
I'll send you the link after. Favorite band or artist?
Mm. hate when people ask me this because it's like, it's so dependent on my mood. Okay, favorite band probably In This Moment. I love In This Moment. I don't think there's an album that they come out with that I didn't like. And like legitimately, every single album they come out with, there's always at least two songs on each album where I'm like, oh, this would be a great entrance song.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they always have the dopest like beginnings to their songs, like guitar riffs, everything. So dramatic, yeah. So great. And a small part of me wants to reach out to them someday and be like, hey, will you guys make me a song, please?
Do it now. You got time. Yeah. Do it now.
I mean, they're very popular. I don't know if I have time for a little itty bitty old me, but I would love it.
Girl, you don't know until you ask. And I am all for the delusional confidence. That's how I get through life. So ooh, reach out.
Delusional confidence. I'm going to use that in a promo one day. I like that.
It's good. What is then? Okay, so that's your like favorite band or artist. But what's your ride or die guilty indulgence? Like Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls.
Probably Safety Dance.
Okay, perfect. We're going to go right to the last question. Finish this lyric. You can dance if you want to.
You can leave your friends behind. Because if your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance with them, no friends of mine.
That's a great guilty indulgence. I don't think enough people know that song in this era.
It's so good. And if you ever go watch the music video, it's like the stupidest thing in the world. I'm all about stupid music videos. Like, it's just like, I mean, not to say that the song gives you the impression that it's supposed to be like this crazy whatever, but like, it's
deep,
like
layered.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Why are you guys in the grass and why are you wearing these outfits? And like, it's just, it's great.
Well, that's it, folks. Now you know what happened to the coven. I feel a lot lighter. These last two episodes, I don't know what's come over me, but I just feel like being honest with you, being really vulnerable and telling you what's happened in my life. Professional wrestling is a weird world. That's what I always tell you. But life is weird. And when you're involved in both of those entities, things get really real. I've said it before, wrestling has saved my life. But at other times, it's made my life really challenging. But one thing I am certain of, and I'm forever internally grateful, is the relationships and the family that wrestling has given me. Kylan King was Impact TNA's one to watch for 2024. And her journey has never been an easy one, but what's worth doing if it's easy? Let's keep watching our girl. Let's keep rooting for her. And until next week, keep calm, wild on, blessed be. Thank you, Rochelle, my editor and queen. We love you.
Oh, hello, doggy.
Oh, yes. This is Carlos. He needs to make his once a show appearance. Okay, Carlos. Can you please sit down? Sit, Carlos. Sit. You can't be on the camera the whole time. Sit. All the way down. Sit. Okay. He just wanted to do his on-screen thing. Now he's going to go lay down elsewhere. Apologies.
I love it.